Welcome to Conscious Communication, the podcast that can help you improve your company's culture and better your team's communication, helping you build more significant relationships. Now here's your host, Philip Bogolub.
I have the privilege and honor of talking with Mark Neese. He's a native Texan. He's lived in many parts of the United States. I want to find out where. He is an assistant scoutmaster in his son's Eagle Scout group. He's in the Brotherhood member of the Order of the Arrow. He's a member of the Rotary Club of Park Cities since 2014. He's a Paul Harris Fellow. He's got a lot of stuff going on. I want to thank you very much for taking the time to talk with me today, Mark.
I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Now, the whole idea of the show, as we kind of discussed before the record button was hitting, is getting people's different views of how they consciously communicate in the world and what kind of mind they work in. And the reason why I wanted to talk to Mark is because he's got something that really consciously communicates. I'm looking at his studio now. It's absolutely amazing. He's into video marketing with Sync Lab, and he's got Sync Lab Media, and he's doing on-demand stuff. But before we get into that, I always like to find out, what was the turning point? Where did you come from? Give me the 50,000 foot view of why you're doing what you're doing. Were you doing something else and some other coincidence or serendipity happening going, I really love this. I got to go down that road.
Well, I'm fortunate that my turning point was when I was still in college. You know, a lot of people don't have their turning point until they've already spent a number of years in whatever original professional career that they chose. So I was pretty fortunate. I went to school at the University of Hawaii. We can have a discussion about that as well. But
cool.
I originally thought that I wanted to get into the field of computer science. You know, this was in the late 80s, mid to late 80s when I went to college. And that was an emerging field. And I thought it would be a really good opportunity. I was really good at math. And so I said, why don't I do computer engineering? And I got into the second semester of my first year of college and realized very quickly that I wasn't quite as good at math as I thought I was. and about the same time, I had a friend that lived in the same dorm that I lived in, and he was in the communications field, in, you know, department, and with a focus of radio, television, film, and he was in the process of trying to finish a film project for one of his classes. And he asked me if I would go out and help him schluck around some of his equipment and just help him so he could get the last shots that he needed to put his student film together. And immediately I was like, wow, this is really cool, and this is something that I think I'm interested in. And so I switched majors and, you know, started on the communications path myself. And so, you know, that kind of where it changed for me when I moved back to the Dallas area after graduating, found a local company here. I did an internship for a year and the rest is history. You know, that was 30 years ago.
That's what I was going to ask you. Okay. So 30 years you've been, so you really haven't necessarily worked for anybody else except for yourself in general.
Well, I did have had a couple of corporate stints within that period, you know, where I worked for companies that were in the media industry in different roles. So I've done that a couple of different times. But yeah, basically, I would say for 22 of those 30 years, it's either been freelance or the past 13 years running my own business.
Very cool. So one of the things I want to talk about, I mean, Sync Lab does several different things. I want to talk about your video marketing and consulting firm part. He speaks to groups on media literacy, video marketing, industry trends. So tell me a little bit more about the video marketing first before we go into some of the on-demand stuff. What exactly are you doing there? And also speaking to groups, how are you making a difference doing that? And what are you doing?
Well, as most people realize now, particularly business owners, video content is absolutely just critical to anyone having business success. So it's really, especially for small businesses, and a lot of small businesses are reluctant to start marketing with video because of a number of different misconceptions they have about it. Or maybe they've tried to do something in the past and it didn't really work as quickly as they thought it would. But the underlying the underlying principle kind of behind that is most of the time people start trying to do it without really having the right strategy in place first. So that's really where the consulting piece of our business comes in. That's really where we start with even prospective clients, is really trying to discover what are their main drivers of their business, what are their objectives over the next 6, 12, 18 months, even longer, what are their business objectives, helping them identify who their real target audience is, the platforms that that target audience is on, the type of messaging that that audience engages with the most. And so all of those factors go into deciding initially even what type of content to produce, how frequently to produce it, and then where to put it so that it gets in front of the right people at the right time. So that's really our differentiating factor. There's thousands of other companies, even in DFW, that, you know, produce great video content, but there's really not a lot of them that really take the time to understand exactly what type of content they should be producing for a client before they roll camera. So that's really where our strength and differentiating factor is. Because of our experience, we can really hone in on what really is most likely to work for a client to really get them the best results.
You're just not simply doing a video. You're getting Correct. Into their mind, finding out what they are. And a lot of times people have a great idea in their mind and trying to draw that out in their imagination. I mean, you're imaginative. This is your business. So you have to kind of draw it out of them, of what exactly they're looking for and what the driver is and what their ultimate goal is, like 6 months, a year, what do they want to do? But what is the ultimate thing? Because people have really good visions in their head, but unless you get in there and talk to them and kind of draw it out on a piece of paper and kind of extrapolate that from their mind, you could go in the completely wrong direction. You might have a cool video, but I'm like, oh, that's great, and click on to the next thing, because you know, you understand the, you know, the feeds and all the stuff that's going on, and everybody's looking at things very quickly. And you know, how many seconds does it take that somebody is going in their mind when they're looking at something? How many seconds do you have to catch their attention?
3 to 5.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, how about download speed? Does that have something to do with that? Because if people are impatient, they just don't do it. I mean, you can't do everything about that.
Well, I mean, most of the time people are not downloading your content. Most of the time they're just watching it. But yeah, if somebody has really bad bandwidth, I mean, they're going to be experiencing that with all the videos they're watching. So
that's a good point. They're not downloading. They're looking at just what's going on. And how do you, when you say to speak to groups, who are you speaking to? Are you going out and talking to in colleges or universities or just privately and to businesses? How are you doing that?
So it kind of depends. I mean, sometimes I'm sure we'll get into this later when we start talking about the communication piece of it. But, you know, sometimes companies need, you know, information internally. You know, if they have a big enough team that's working on, you know, content, marketing, PR, business development, sales, any of those kind of areas, sometimes they need someone to come in with a fresh set of eyes and really lay out the, you know, a vision and get the buy-in from everyone, right, in that situation.
Good point.
Otherwise, just general educational topics about what small businesses can do to increase their reach and their influence on certain platforms using video and using certain communication techniques. Those types of talks that I do are typically to small business groups, associations, business networking groups, Rotary clubs, you know, different kind of groups like that, where there are business owners, and it's really about kind of educating them at a 20, 30,000 foot level about, you know, certain things that they should be doing for their businesses and ways that they can do that without breaking the budget necessarily.
What is the biggest communication difference that, maybe it's too big of a question, but what's the biggest communication difference in the past 20 years, even the past 10 years?
Oh, man.
How you're doing it now that you did 10 years ago or even 5 years ago?
A lot of it, really, honestly, I mean, obviously technology changes every day. So, you know, the more technology advances, the more opportunity that people have to communicate in more and more effective ways. So a perfect example was during the pandemic, like we're on Zoom right now, right?
Right.
Prior to the pandemic, you know, maybe 15, 20% of the population even knew what Zoom was and used it on a regular basis for business. Now that's probably 80%, you
know. Good point. Good.
That's a perfect example of just how technology changes things and makes communicating easier, right? But people still need to do that in the right way, right?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of education that still needs to happen on that end, right? As far as types of communication that people respond to, as we mentioned, attention spans are getting shorter and shorter. And so it requires people to be much more concise with their messaging and communication. And also, things have moved very rapidly over the past 10 years from a promotional type of communication to a more educational and personal type of communication, even in business, right?
Oh, interesting.
And so people really want to be told, they want to be told a story while they're learning something, and they want to connect on more of an emotional level. So really, it's right now, it's really more about building trust and building, and that comes with people recognizing you as a subject matter expert, recognizing you or your brand as someone who really wants to educate and give value. So it's really more of a value-based proposition now than it is a promotional or transactional-based, you know, experience.
And interesting.
So I think
that's
the biggest transformation, I think, over the past 10 years is audiences are getting more and more sophisticated, and they're getting more and more demanding about really wanting to be talked to more than sold to.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. I like that. Talked to more than sold to, because, you know, what I'm doing here, I mean, I have a philosophy involved with conscious communication. It's called Ajinoi. It's an imaging technique which creates the right mindset. And the whole idea is to see what people do and how you're doing it and how other people are doing it, unrelated to each other. And I'm focusing on how people, what are they doing to get the word out and how they're doing it. They want to tell a story. And that is so true. They want to find out. Somebody was mentioning a couple of weeks ago on an interview, tell them about where you came from. That's why I asked you where you came from. Because to me, it's not, you know, you got here, but how did you get here? It's kind of like going for a bachelor's or a master's degree. It's more interesting with the story, not just getting this. Is this all it is? Just a piece of paper? That's all I'm getting? You know, it's more interesting learning on the way up. So I like that. I want to switch over to, I want to come back to that storytelling. And I still want to ask you about University of Hawaii. So now I'm going to go to the binge networks and your platforms. And you say here, you got about 500,000 viewers per day, reaching millions on demand, Roku, Apple TV. Tell me what all that is about. What are you communicating in there?
So that's a platform that we use for ourselves and for our clients. That's it's really more episodic content. So in other words, one of the things that we do in this studio is we produce video podcast shows. So they're basically TV shows. Mm. And so Binge Networks is a on-demand platform. It's in the industry, it's called OTT, over-the-top TV, because it's on demand and online, as opposed to on a network that, you know, you get a channel on your, you know, your U-verse receiver or whatever,
right,
you know, that comes into your home.
Right.
And, you know, this is an area that has been just growing exponentially, and actually more people now, there's more watch hours on demand than there are in traditional network TV from a viewership basis. So it's a, you know, so we wanted to find a platform that was going to be the best platform for us and the client, that the content that we knew we'd be producing for our clients. So this is typically longer format content, you know, 12 to 20, maybe 30 minutes or even longer. And we chose Binge Networks. They're an OTT platform themselves. And then you can buy a license to have either a channel or even your own network, which includes 25 channels, and it's on their platform. And so then they go out and make deals with all of these other on-demand platforms to include their programming on that, right? So as a licensee to a channel on their platform. Then we also had apps built for us, which you can find on Roku, on Apple TV, Amazon Prime, Amazon Fire, Google Play. And that allows people on their smart TVs to save our app on their smart TVs.
Ah.
And then anytime they want to, they can just turn on their TV, go to our channel, and then watch any of the shows that are on our channel. So it's just it's another layer of distribution that's outside of YouTube or, you know, Vimeo or any of these other video sharing platforms, where you actually have access directly into people's homes on their smart TVs or on their smart devices.
So you're actually creating your own TV channel, basically.
Basically, yeah. So it's our own TV channel. Yes.
Very cool.
And so that's just something else that we have that we can offer our clients that we're producing shows for. It's just another distribution point. And then anytime we load one of their shows, one of their episodes, that episode has its own unique URL also on that platform. And so they can share that out as well, just the same as they're sharing their, you know, YouTube URL or whatever. And it allows them to basically have a TV show on a on-demand network channel, which is something that most people don't have access to, right? It just gives them another opportunity to kind of validate themselves, raise their kind of stature as opposed to someone who may just be only on YouTube. And so there's a lot of advantages to that as well.
So it's changing. It really is completely changing the platform of what it started, like you said, with YouTube or some of the basic stuff. Not that there's anything wrong with that stuff, but it's giving another venue for people to communicate, because you have a lot of things: audience engagement, value-based content, cause marketing. What is cause marketing?
So cause marketing, it can apply either to a cause itself and the way they market themselves. So, you know, in other words, a nonprofit or anything, but actually any business, you know, basically what it is, let's say, you know, two of my favorite causes, because of what I do, two of my favorite causes are Rotary and Scouting, right? Mm-hmm. So if we as a company are doing things, collaborating with one of those organizations and doing things for them, either pro bono or donating or volunteering to them, then those are opportunities for us as SyncLab Media to actually market those organizations, but do it in a way where people also realize that we are involved in those organizations because they're causes that we believe in, and we are actually contributing back to the community and, you know, and volunteering in the community with those organizations. So it's kind of a win-win, right? We get to promote them, but we also get to promote the fact that we, in fact, are a company that believes in participating in our community and giving back to our community.
A question pertaining to video content, even audio content. So, you know, people think they could stick their phone on a tripod or even on a table and just go ahead and do it. I think correct me if I'm wrong, the whole idea of what you're focusing on is, I have an idea, I have a concept, you professionally do it in a way that almost looks like a movie. You're having a high definition or a high quality content-based information as opposed to something I'm just doing on my phone. You got the right microphones, you got the right backgrounds, you got a clear content, and then you have these opportunities, like you said, to be able to do this out there. So I guess the way you're communicating is, we can do it in a way by asking you to come out, like we talked about earlier, creating what you have in your mind. Can it be difficult? How do you guide somebody if they just don't, they have an idea of what they want, but they can't communicate it? How do you kind of extrapolate that from them?
I mean, it can be difficult sometimes, and sometimes we don't always get it right, you know, on the first go around either, right? So there is some trial and error involved. But I mean, with the experience that we have, I have one main business partner, and he's got more experience than I do, but on the business operations side, working for Fortune 100 companies with teams of hundreds of people, right? So got a vast wealth of business knowledge and operations experience. And so between the two of us, when we're having a discovery session with someone, it usually becomes clear after, you know, at least the first meeting, kind of the direction that they should be going in. But But you're right. I mean, sometimes it is, if someone has not been through that process before, sometimes it takes a little bit to, you know, to get them to really start thinking in the right way and opening up and, you know, giving us the information that we need to, you know, to help them develop that messaging. But, you know, it's just a process.
And how, what ultimately, you know, do you have a particular goal where you want to be for your business in a few years or several years or what you're doing now and how to make a difference? I mean, you've got a bunch of things you're doing. I mean, with the Rotary Club and the video channels, are there other things? Or are you just going to, because you obviously have to be up on all the new technology and all the stuff that's happening, even though there's a lot of new technology, it doesn't mean it's functioning right now or it's even good. Do you basically just keep on that path, or do you just keep making sure you're staying with what's going on? Or do you just come up with creative ideas from your, both you and your partner's experience in the business world, so you can offer something different than just simply sitting down, like you said, I'm just going to record you. I mean, you have, ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a studio. It's very neat, very organized, and it's very nice. So is there something you're shooting for in the future, or is there something that you see that you might adventure out or you're working on?
Well, I mean, just like every other business, we always want to grow and, you know, and expand, you know, both our revenue horizons, but also the value that we're bringing to, you know, the people that we're working with. And, you know, we're always trying to push the envelope in one direction or another, or come up with, you know, ways to offer our products or services to clients that are a little bit different than other people, you know, so we're always kind of pushing that. And we're, you know, one of the things that we're really trying to do is identify people in certain industries that we really want to work with and, you know, and coming up with ideas about how we can present what we can do for them and the value that we can bring to them, you know, in a way that moves that along. And we've had some success with that recently. You know, for instance, we have someone that we've been working with in California for really the last 18 months. We've been building the relationship with them over the last 18 months and, you know, meeting with them about once a month and kind of seeing where they're at with their, you know, with their launching a completely new product that is, can be world changing actually. And so it's worth it to put the time in to build that relationship over that period of time. I'll just give a little quick example or story. About 2 weeks ago, actually, we were talking to them and found out that they were going to be at an agricultural conference this past week. And they were going to have a booth and everything. They were investing this money, you know, to buy a booth and to be at this conference to talk to specific people to buy their product that they're launching. And we asked them what they were using for their presentation materials, and they kind of told us, and we're like, well, you know, they were going to have a video monitor there, and they were just planning on just showing some like aerial drone footage of their plant. And, you know, and it just wasn't, I asked them what, you know, to send the footage, and they sent it, and it just didn't really, I mean, it was just video footage, right? No, no one who doesn't know their operations wouldn't really know what they were looking at.
Oh, good point.
So we took the initiative to actually produce a, you know, a 2-minute video presentation with graphics and things that kind of told the story a little bit and in a much more professional and polished way, and just sent that video to them for them to use for the for their conference. And it actually was the difference between them having, you know, just a meeting a few people to, they actually, when people were walking by, that video that we made that was looping on the monitor behind their booth, people were coming up and asking them specific questions about the different messaging points that, you know, that were graphically on the video, and allowed them to immediately have a much deeper conversation with people about what they were actually doing. And they've got two potential new clients that are going to be worth, you know, $1 million, $2 million plus over the next year or two for them. So,
wow. I mean, it is that little switch, that little communication part that you offer that, again, they have it in their mind, but like, I'll just stick that video on there, and they're not aware of how that little messaging can just make that much of a difference, because somebody walking by, if they're talking to a potential customer and somebody's looking at a video, if they're, you know, I come from the medical field in my life as an engineer, and worked out of a manufacturing plant. And if I had some drone flying around from the manufacturing plant in one of the shows I used to go to, they go, doesn't mean anything to me. I have no idea. So you had to, I mean, we had a whole department. There was a Fortune 500 company. So they made professional videos like you do. And so people understood a more humanistic thing. And this is what it serves. And you're helping patients. You're doing this. So you kind of have to touch that point, you know, see, hear, smell, and touch. You have to see things and, you know, and like, oh, that makes a difference. So no, that's an excellent point. Just that little tweak can make a huge difference. And also to go on what you were just saying about customers, I was the kind of engineer that was doing the tech support and I went with the sales guy. I was dressed in a company t-shirt and jeans and the sales guy would be in the suit. And you were talking about 18 months. I've talked to sales guys, they're working with 2 or 3 years with customers until they're like, you know what? Why don't you tell me more about it? I think it's time. And sometimes it takes, you have to communicate, not being obviously obnoxious and calling every day, but you kind of just stick those things out. You meet with them, you casually meet, however each person does it is different. And then eventually something could happen. You just got to keep going at it over and over and over again. Of course, they have to be interested in what you're doing, but it's like, oh, not right now, not right now. It's like, you know what? I think this is the right time. I want to go back on University of Hawaii. How did you get to University of Hawaii?
Oh, well, for one thing, it was one of the furthest places away from Dallas, Texas that I got accepted to go to school. So I was one of those kids in high school, right? God love my parents, right? So I had a little rebellious streak, you know, my junior and senior year in high school. And I wanted to get out of Texas. And so the only schools I applied to were West Coast. And then on a whim, a couple of friends of mine and I, we were like, hey, why don't we all apply to the University of Hawaii? And if we all get in, we'll all go. And we all got in and I went.
That's very funny.
So the other two, they went home after we all got in. They went home and said, hey, I want to go to the University of Hawaii. And their parents were like, nope. But so I was the one that went.
So, oh, you were the only one?
Right.
Yeah. Okay, good. All right. But that's interesting how all those things go down.
It was fun. So,
well, yeah, I mean, you're 18 years old. It's beautiful weather. It's a gorgeous place to be. Where were you at?
So the University of Hawaii at Manoa, it's in Honolulu. And so I was in a dorm, you know, a couple of years on the south end of the campus and in an apartment for a year and a half in right by the area is Huilie. It's right by the big park there, Manalua Park, I think is what it's called. So, I mean, it's, you know, it was a nice area and I just rode my bike back and forth to, you know, to campus.
Very nice.
The cool thing is that when I got there, I did buy like a junker car that I kept on campus. And that was solely for carrying surfboards and a few buddies. And we were at the beach almost every day. So I scheduled my classes from 7 a.m. in the morning until 1 p.m. in the afternoon. So I could hit the mess hall, have breakfast, go to class, hit the mess hall for lunch, go back, go to class, finish my last class, hit the mess hall for lunch before they close, and then we'd load up the car and go to the beach and surf, and then get back right before the mess hall closed for dinner, and then I'd do my, you know, studying and homework at night, and that was probably three or four days a week we would do that, and then the weekends, of course, were, you know, pretty much, you know, 8 to 10 hours a day at the beach, you know, on the weekends. So it was cool. I got a lot of surfing in and, you know, had a great tan at that time.
And, you know, so. In the medical field, when I first came out, I was installing medical equipment and I ended up going to Honolulu. And the medical equipment at the time, this is in the 80s, electronics weren't like plug and play. It took about 3 months to install this particular piece of equipment. It's called a CAT scanner. Well, I was there for more like 6 months because they started early and they ended, like you said, at like 1 or 2. Now, I didn't surf or anything, but it was like, what are we supposed to do the rest of the day? Oh, just hang loose. I'm like,
yep.
Well, I didn't know this. So, I mean, I was there a month at a time at that point, and I come back home. But then I was there for a couple of months to finish it up and it still wasn't finished. But they were so laid back. I don't know if it's like that anymore, but they were very laid back. And it's just a different It's like when I used to travel to the southern states, including Texas, used to be like, ah, don't worry about it. We'll get to it. We're okay. We'll get there. You know, different parts of the country had different ways of doing things. But when I was there, it was so different. I'm used to going, let's get it done. And they were like, just hang loose, relax. Mm-hmm. It'll be good. Right. And, you know, and it's good because they enjoyed more of the water, the walking, the surfing, the biking. Everybody knew everybody at the time. It was a lot smaller world in the 80s, and people just knew, oh, I know that guy. I know that person. I know that company. It was almost like I was in the Andy Griffith Show. It was like a small town and a big island type thing. So yeah. It was something that was very, very enjoyable. Mark, it's been an absolute pleasure talking with you. I appreciate you taking the time out. The name of the company is called Sync Lab Media. He's out of Texas. Give him a call. I like how he communicates with getting into the mind of the customer, finding out what it is and extrapolating that information, because not everybody could do that. Anybody can make a video, like he said, but what he's doing that's unique is going into the customer's mind, getting that information out and saying, how is this presenting? Because not everybody can always communicate with the way you're supposed to. So I want to thank you again for taking the time to talk with me today.
I really appreciate it, Philip. It was a great, great conversation. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And to my conscious community, remember, it is more important to express your thinking thoughts and not the thoughts you are thinking. That is what is called conscious communication. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to Conscious Communication. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and recommend on Apple Podcasts, Overcast, or wherever you get your podcast. You can also get more great information at ConsciousCommunicationPodcast.com.